Tuesday in the third week of Lent. First reading from the book of Daniel. In the fire, Azariah stood up and prayed aloud. For your name's sake, do not deliver it up forever. Or make void your covenant. Do not take away your mercy from us. For the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel, your holy one, to whom you promised to multiply their offspring like the star of heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea. For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation. Brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sin. We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no holocaust, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruit to find favor with you. But with contrite heart and humble spirit, let it be received, as though it were holocaust of ram and bullock, or thousand of fat lamb. So let our sacrifice be in your presence today, and we follow you unreservedly. For those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you, and we pray to you. Do not let us be put to shame, but deal with us in your kindness and great mercy. Deliver us by your wonder and bring glory to your name, O Lord. From the Gospel of Matthew. Then Peter approaching asked him, Lord, if my brother sin against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle account with his servant. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He see him and start to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. Falling to his knee, his fellow servant begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servant saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I have pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgive his brother from his heart. Setting the theme, forgive as you were forgiven. There are two attitudes which deal to happen when people must face suffering. They can have a negative attitude by claiming on God or other who is the cause of their suffering, such as war, natural disaster, poverty, or layoff. They also can have a positive attitude by examination of their concern to find out why this suffering happened, then repenting, confessing, and correcting their sin so this suffering shall not happen again. Today's reading concentrates on the theme that people must repent and hope for God's loving forgiveness. In the first reading, Azariah publicly confessed the sin of all Israelites from the midst of fire and asked God to remember his love and covenant which he promised to his ancestor. God answered his prayer by saving the three children from the fire and liberating the Israelites from the exile. In the Gospel, Jesus told a parable to teach his disciples that they must unconditionally forgive others. He also warned them, "So will my heavenly Father do to you, and let each of you forgive his brother from his heart." The first reading, Azariah asked for God's forgiveness in the midst of fire. First, Azariah positively trusted in God's mercy. In the furnace, Azariah knew that only God can save him, his true friend, and the Israelites from death. He depended on the true thing to beg for God's compassion. First, God's holy name. The Israelites are God's own people, and he established his covenant with their father to protect them. The surrounding nation knew these facts. Therefore, Azariah asked God not to let them insult God's holy name, because he didn't protect his people by his praying to God, "For your name's sake, do not deliver it up forever, or making void your covenant." According to God's covenant with Abraham, you promised to multiply their offspring like the star of heaven, or the sand on the shore of the sea. "For we are reduced, O Lord, beyond any other nation, brought low everywhere in the world this day because of our sin." The Israelites lost everything, their country, the temple, and especially God's love. Azariah expressed these laws as follows: "We have in our day no prince, prophet, or leader, no holocaust, sacrifice, oblation, or incense, no place to offer first fruit to find favor with you." Second, God's love for his ancestor. Azariah knew the reason why God made the covenant with his ancestor is their absolute faith in him. Therefore, Azariah based it on his ancestor's faithfulness to ask God forgiveness for Israel, saying, "Do not take away your mercy from us. For the sake of Abraham, your beloved, Isaac, your servant, and Israel the Holy One. Second, be humble to repent and to change their life. Third, humble repentance. Azariah knew that he and the Israelite had no merit for God's compassion because all sinned against him. But he knew God shall show his compassion for those who repent, as the psalm said, "A contrite heart, O Lord, you shall not despise." Therefore he prayed to God, "But with contrite heart and humble spirit, let us be received, as though it were honor court of ram and bullock, or thousand of fat lamb." Though they no longer had the temple to offer their sacrifices, but God won their love, not their sacrifice. Therefore, people can offer their love to compensate for their sin wherever they live. Second, make a promise to change his life. Sin causes many damages for people. Therefore, when people recognize terrible result of their sin, they should make a commitment to stop sinning. One of the main things people must recognize when they examine of their conscience is that God is always right, and people are wrong because they disagree God's teaching. To live a better life, people must obey and do what God commands them. Azariah makes his promise to God, "So let our sacrifice be in your presence today as we follow you unreservedly. For those who trust in you cannot be put to shame. And now we follow you with our whole heart. We fear you and we pray to you." Gospel. I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Third, the condition one must have to receive God's forgiveness. People must forgive others in order to receive God's forgiveness. Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, if my brother sinned against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Peter probably thought that the maximum of the normal people can forgive is about 3 times. But to exceed that normal limit, he increased twice and added 1 more time. People were surprised as Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. The simple way to explain Jesus' answer is to forgive as many times as we receive God's forgiveness. Second, the result one must bear if one refuses to forgive others. To indicate God's immense forgiveness and people's selfishness, Jesus told them a parable. Third, one was forgiven from 10,000 talents of gold. This was a huge amount. A talent of gold is equivalent with 35 kilograms. 10,000 talents of gold are equivalent with 350,000 kilograms of gold, and 8 kilograms of gold cost about $1.6 million today. When the servant begged for master patience, moved with compassion, the master let him go and forgave him the huge loan. Second, the servant didn't forgive his friend who owed him about $10. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him about $10. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." His fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I have pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturer until he should pay back the whole debt. Jesus concluded, "So will my heavenly Father do to you, and let each of you forgive his brother from his heart." Some application in life. When facing suffering, we shouldn't quickly attribute them to God and others, but we should be humble to examine our conscience and to find out the reason why we have to endure suffering. God is rich in mercy. He doesn't condemn our sin and is ready to forgive them all. But he demands us to repent and to forgive others without any condition. Sin condemns it for the individual and the community. After receiving forgiveness, we should avoid sin and renew our life by practicing what God teaches us. Amen.